And so, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good?
Question avoided.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground here in New York City. That's where we are, and this is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. Actually, that was a little bit of a lie. This is the first time that is not true. I am not your host today for this show. Today, we're going to have a special guest host. Ira Kogan is going to be here hosting Dispatch from the Underground as soon as I'm done talking shit here in the intro. Ira's going to take over, and he's going to be interviewing me and Cello and Jason from All Torn Up. He's going to be interviewing All Torn Up and asking us a few questions about what we do and the music we make and how we do it and that kind of stuff. We have never done this before. We've never had someone interview us in All Torn Up. So this is going to be the first, and I've never had anyone else host the show without me being in charge. So it's going to be a little bit difficult for me to let go of the reins. I'm a little bit of a control freak. I don't know if that comes through on the radio here or not, but yeah, that's true. But we have a long interview. Ira, I'm sure, is going to be asking us a lot of questions, and we're going to have a lot of people talking. There's three of us here, and we all have a lot to say. So we're going to cut right to the interview. I do want to say a couple of things before we begin, though. I want to say thank you very much to Ira, not only for being a good friend and not only for being a good person, but also for digging everything we do in All Torn Up and always giving me positive feedback for the podcast and All Torn Up. So I really appreciate that, Ira. Thank you very much for always being a good dude and willing to do the interview. So you're a good man. I also want to thank Jason and Cello for taking time away from their family and friends to come over and do this interview with us. They see me all the fucking time, so you got to have some sympathy for these guys and having to put up with me for 24/7. So I appreciate that, fellas. And shout out to Philippe and Soren from All Torn Up, who could not be with us today doing the interview. They were busy doing some other stuff, so they are in the band. I'm sure they disagree with everything we say, but we couldn't all be in the same room to do this interview today. So they lose out. And, you know, I'm probably going to edit Jason and Cello severely anyway, so it's going to just be mainly me talking shit. But that's what you sign up for anyway, listening to the podcast, so whatever. Anyway, shout out to Philippe and Soren. And also shout out to Mike Moosehead, who is basically a member of All Torn Up at this point. He's been in so much stuff. So shout out to Moosehead as well. Since we're in the gracious spirit, I also want to say thank you to Real Punk Radio, realpunkradio.com. Every Wednesday night, they air Dispatch from the Underground on their incredible programming. Make sure you check us out over there, or just get down with a bunch of the crazy good stuff they got going on over at Real Punk Radio, realpunkradio.com. There's a lot of other stuff to say, but I'll save that to the end of the episode. We're going to talk about some tours coming up. We're going to talk about some shows we're playing in other places. We're going to talk about some other stuff that Jason and I have cooked up with our other band, Skullcaster. And how about this? At the end of the episode, I will play a new tune from Skullcaster. We're going to be doing a tour on the West Coast. I'll have more information about that at the end of the episode. But you can hear a new tune, sneak preview, a little tune from the band. So it's unmastered, it's unfinished, but you can get a little sneak preview. So there'll be Skullcaster at the end. If you can make it through everything, then you'll get a little something special at the end there. So stick around to the postscript note at the end of the episode, and we can talk more about that shit. Let's cut right to it right now. Here is Ira Kogan interviewing three of the five members of All Torn Up. So this Ira Kogan interviewing Jason Tanzer, Marcello Amati, and Joey Steele. That's me, which is kind of weird to intro myself, but interviewing All Torn Up. Get down. All right, what's up? How's it going, Ira?
Good. So this is the Maximum Rock and Roll All Torn Up edition of Dispatches from the Underground.
Yeah, I'm not sure Maximum Rock and Roll is going to appreciate me using their name as in our Dispatches
okay,
episode.
So
but
screw
yeah,
them,
no,
man.
Yeah, that's what they get for asking us to do an interview. Then that's
is Tim Yohannan still alive? Does he still publish it?
I think that they've had like a lot of changes in the last couple of years, but I shouldn't speak for them for sure. I'm sure that would be even more upsetting to them.
I guess I could interview Maximum Rock and Roll then.
Step one, dude.
Some other time.
Done. But thanks for doing this, bro. Appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me to.
Maxim came to us and was like, oh, hey, can you do an interview for the magazine? I'm like, okay, sure. And first name that we all thought of was Ira. We're like, okay, Ira's the only person we could talk to about doing this with us. So thank you for doing it.
I'm not quite sure why, but thank you. That's extremely flattering.
Because you are the only person we know who likes our music.
Yeah, you're one of seven people who knows the words to the songs.
No, there's a bunch. And I don't know as many of the words as you think I do.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
me
so
as well.
You want to sing for All Torn Up?
We are. Hey, hey, today. Fucking cool it, dude. Let's not go there, Jason. So we're here right now. Ira Kogan is here with us. We're here with Cello and Jason
you?
And Joey. I'm Joey from All Torn Up. So maybe we should say our voices. Cello, why don't you say
hello, hello, hello,
Jason?
Hey, it's me, Jason.
This is Joey. If you don't know my voice, you probably are not listening enough to the show. And this is Ira.
Yeah, so
let's talk about
so
it.
So now that you're done trying to hijack this thing, let's ask you some of the questions.
Okay, let's do it.
So you've been around since roughly 2008. You got 6 releases under your belt.
I bet you none of us even know that. I don't even know how many releases we have.
Yeah, according to your Bandcamp, you got 6 releases out, starting with the 2000 demo, and the latest is Social Immolation. What do you know now that you didn't know between the demo days and today about how to do what you're doing? And what are you doing?
Yeah, well, I've learned how to sing more since then.
Is that a musically oriented question?
However you want to answer it. However you want to interpret it.
Cello, me, and Soren.
Also, I think how you answer it says something about your approach to it. That's why I want it to be
open-ended. Now I'm like self-reflective now. Cello, me, and Soren have been together making music since like maybe 2006? No, 2007. Right. Happened to be 2007. Right. Had to be 2007. And Jason, you joined us like 6 months ago.
No, that's impossible.
About yesterday, maybe? No, I think I joined in 2013.
Okay.
And my first show was a show Green Jello was supposed to play, who he never showed up. Some shithole in middle of Queens.
Bay Ridge.
Bay Ridge. Okay, well, before we get to that, how'd you get into these guys? How do you know them?
I met Joey at a show against Police Brutality.
So activism from the very beginning.
No, it was a show. It was an all-time up show.
You know, with a focus around raising awareness, and you know, it was a DIY. It was at the Swamp. I'd never been to the Swamp, but I had an address someone gave me a long time ago for a DIY space. I was like, I think this might be it, and I put it online. I was like, is this the right place? I want to make sure I know where I'm going. Joey took it down and he messaged me, and he was like, hey man, you know, yeah, it's the right place. We just, you know, we don't publicize the address. So I went to the show, you know, I went up to him, you know, I was like, oh, what's up, man? You know, I'm Jason. Nice to meet you. We hung out for a little bit. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, he posted looking for someone to help him out with Punk Island. So I joined on, helped him out to do that. And we just kind of became good friends and kind of liked working with each other. And from there, he was like, hey, you want to try doing second guitars for All Torn Up?
We've been looking for a guitar
for
years. We're looking for another second guitar player for years.
So prior to that, Cello, you did most of the songwriting? You guys write together?
It's a complicated...
You've been with the band more or less since the beginning, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I entered a Craigslist ad in 2006 or whatever it was, and these guys had already been playing together. And when I got there, there was another guitarist whom I...
His name was Frank.
Okay.
Frank and Cello showed up in response to this Craigslist ad.
And, you know, I just started playing with them since then. The other dude dropped out after that show. After
that practice,
after
he,
that
never
practice
showed again.
He never showed up.
Fuck
again.
You, Frankie, yeah.
And then
you fucking piece of shit.
And then you got stuck with these guys.
I got stuck with them. Yeah.
No escape.
But as far as the songwriting aspect, we kind of all just contribute equally, feel like. I mean, yeah.
No,
like,
we don't contribute.
So there wasn't enough time for anything to really change between the writing team before and Jason's joining the band.
Oh, well, I feel like a lot has changed.
Just collaborative.
Well, that's a loaded question. A lot of the times, you know, I'll come up with an idea and I'll bring it to practice. And like anything, I guess, with like a collaborative effort, when you're writing music or doing anything artistically in a collaborative effort, everyone always has their input. And for the most part, I'd say 90% of the times when I go
into the studio with an idea for these guys, it never ends up being like what I thought it was going to be, which right. is fine. And that's, you know, that's expected.
He's not fine with that.
That's a no. That's a thing about working with any collective. Yeah. Like a few weeks ago, here now. Whatever, I know this is about you, but I'll make it all about me.
Don't worry, I'll cut all that stuff out that you said.
There you go. Well, the thing about working with any kind of collective, whether it's a band, is things a lot of the time don't turn out exactly how you wanted them. And sometimes you got to know when to say that's good enough for me.
You know, you asked like what's changed a lot for us. Well, first of all, we started with a different bass player, so it was a very different band dynamic when we first started. So that's changed a lot, and I think we've all grown to get used to each other's, you know, idiosyncrasies and writing, and I think we've all grown up a ton. Also, like, I didn't know I guess Soren sort of did know what he was doing when he started playing with us, because he'd been in some serious bands, but I didn't know how to sing. I didn't know how to hold my breath, or like, I just went in there and ripped my throat and left, and then couldn't talk for 2 days, and then I came back. So I think we're a lot more serious about the music now. As opposed to just like playing it as hard and weird as possible.
And I think like a lot of the songwriting now has a lot of thought built into it, especially now because we have Jason, and, you know, for me, that's like thinking of writing leads as opposed to like just playing rhythm. And like Joey does different things with his vocals, and as do I. And we just, like every other band, I feel like we evolve over time.
I think it probably... None of my business, but it probably helps that you guys know exactly what you want this band to be. But speaking to someone who's at that like demo era of what they're trying to do, like you guys were in 2006 to 2008, is there anything you could say to younger bands that could save them a lot of trouble that you went through?
Jeez. Yeah, there's a lot of younger punks ask me about stuff, and I'm always super down to give help with that. But I would just say, like, be from the get-go, get serious, you know, like play with people you care about. First of all, play with people you care about, because you don't waste your time with people you don't like and you don't want to spend time with, because you're going to be with them for a long time and it's not going to work out. Okay. So play with people you care about and get serious with it, because if you do it half-assed, it's not going to, no one's going to give a shit about what you do.
Shut up, Joey.
Okay. I'm going to get some water.
You do plenty of talking. do you guys have anything?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would be just to, I know these guys are probably against doing that, but just take your time in like the writing process, because a lot of just like getting into the studio and like being excited about playing music and like finding people who you generally get along with, like that part can like overtake the music aspect. Part of it, and like if you really like go into it thinking like, oh, I want the band to sound like one particular thing or another thing, and you should throw that out the window, because
it ain't gonna happen.
It's not gonna happen. Yeah.
I think it's funny you mention that, because Joey and I have another band called Skullcaster that we are in that demo phase of putting something out, and we have been working on this band for a few years, and it's been like 3 years of lineup changes, of just finding the right people to play with. And the sound that we had when we first started to what we have now is similar, but almost completely different. And it's, you know, it takes time to sculpt what you, I don't even want to say what you want the band to sound like, because I don't think there's like an exact answer of, oh, I want my band to sound exactly like this, because, you know, I think the best thing you can do is try and be original and do something that no one else has done. And you obviously pull your influences from a bunch of different places. But you know, having something that's unique from experimentation, and, you know, like you have your solid groundwork and your foundation, but, you know, with this new band that we have, and I know this is about All Torn Up, you know, it was a lot of just like trying out different things, and a lot of songs came really quick, and then we kind of hit we plateaued for a bit, then we started another few songs really quick. And it's just about kind of what comes naturally and what feels right. And, you know, Joey said it, if you don't care about the people you're working with, if you don't care about what you're doing, there's no point to doing it. And I think with All Torn Up, that's one of the biggest things, is that we all care a lot, sometimes maybe too much about what we do. So, you know, if you're in the studio with us when we're writing a song, you know, one song could take a really long time.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. But in my own opinion, you know, I'm really proud of the work that we produce. So, you know, everyone has their own process, and sometimes ours is quick, a lot of times it takes a long time. So,
yeah. A lot of compromises, huh? So, did you have a specific message you were going for in those days, and has it changed? Or do you think you've been touching on mostly the same themes on each release and tour?
I mean, I think...
Also,
go ahead.
Has your worldview changed since the beginning? Are there things you're more angry about that you weren't angry about then? Are there things you're not angry at all about that you just kind of let go because the world has gotten better?
Oh, the world has definitely not gotten any better, for sure. But there's a lot in there. I'll let Cello also talk a little bit about how the music focus has changed, because I do think that's a huge part of how our overall intention has changed, and I think our audience has changed a little bit. But lyrically, All Torn Up has always been super difficult to write for, because we started off conscious political. We wanted to make songs political, but I made sure I wasn't writing everything that I personally believed. It wasn't just me and my thoughts. I try to write as much as possible for all of us. So I write songs that I feel like reflect our outlooks overall. Obviously I'm writing most of the lyrics, so my ideas are getting in there more than others. And we talk a lot more, and I know them a lot better. And so it's a lot easier now to write more complicated stuff, because we're all more in touch. We're more in tune with each other. I just try to be really sensitive to the fact that I can't just say what I want to say. Because if it was just me, and I do that more with some other bands, if it was just me doing serious political songs, they would sound way more violent and ugly, and I'd probably be in jail already from that shit.
Okay.
But I think trying to capture like overall what we feel as in terms of changing, changed a ton. All of us have changed. The world's changed. I think our lyrics also have gotten a lot more complicated, a lot more philosophical. And also I've done a lot more in particular. Like I try to be as particular as possible. I try to be as concrete as possible. But it's hard because we all disagree on things. So I try to also keep it philosophically in one direction that we can all agree with, and then maybe the particulars like folks disagree with. Like I'm a communist. Obviously no one else in the band is a communist, and kind of no one else in the world.
I did not know that.
Yeah, kind of no one else in the world, but the songs themselves, the content isn't necessarily communist or even anarchist or even, I think it is anti-capitalist though.
Oh, this is great. This is, I'm sorry. Did you guys have something? Because I want to follow up on this.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Oh yeah. So
you're gonna say you agree with everything I said.
So not exactly. What I was gonna say. Really, what do you think about efforts like Democratic Socialists of America and other organizations that want to work within the frameworks that already exist to make this world more of the kind of place you would like to live in? Are they effective, or are they just a waste of time?
I think...
Punk the answer?
I think you and me, Ira, can talk a lot about that on other episodes, but I think in terms of All Torn Up's response to that, I would say, you know, we support people resisting injustices, and we know it can take a lot of different forms, including people who believe that this system is not completely, you know, terrible and ravaging people all around the world, and that they feel they should reform it, but because of the bad things it does. And if that's what they think they should do, then I think they should do it. I think they're unbelievably wrong.
Okay.
And I think All Torn Up tends to think that we need more radical solutions than democratic socialism or right. than writing letter writing or voting. But I don't think we're not a band who wants to smack resistance out of people's hands.
Right.
If people see oppression, if people see something wrong, we want to engage it and we want to uplift them and help them know that they can do something to change that and give them some options about what it would take to have some real systematic, deep down, deep rooted radical change. And other than encouraging that, I would say there's not much we have to say other than it's deeper than they think. But my personal views are obviously a little more harsh than that. But All Torn Up, we want to be empowering to people. We don't want to slap the resistance out. They'll see that fails on their own. They don't need me to fucking point it out to them.
Okay.
If they're really passionate about social justice, if they're really passionate about ending oppression, and if they dig All Torn Up, they are passionate about those things, I think, then they'll see soon enough that they need to do more than just fucking let it write or vote.
Okay.
But I think Cello should say something about how the music has changed too, and then we're going to take a little break.
That's all right. I mean, yeah, that's kind of a difficult thing to explain. I mean, I guess like we, like Jason said, you know, we all have our influences and we all go in there like expecting, you know, one particular song to sound like one way or another. But like early on, we kind of just wanted to play fast, heavy, hard music and get our message out there. And then, you know, after, as the years gone by, I'm like, hey, let's try to incorporate some other things and not sound like every other band from right. the 90s. You know?
I feel like since Drone Life, really, like you guys went from here to like...
Yeah, and a lot of that songwriting in Drone Life was like a transition period. We had our bassist, Philippe, I brought over from this other band I had played in that we really clicked as far as like the way we played together. So
cool.
When we
started writing Drone Life without Philippe. Philippe wasn't in the band when we first wrote the first song, No Man's Land. He wasn't out in the band yet. So even through that album, we changed a lot.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That album, I think, was, you could definitely see the turning point if you know our music. Like you can tell from like the older stuff as, you know, as far as like the different style of music we're playing from Drone Life on, you can kind of now see where like we're heading to,
you
or like
the rhythm.
We got comfortable together, you know. Jason came along, he fit right in. Philippe and I, we've been playing for years, and you know, I've been playing with these guys for years, so like we kind, when I convey an idea or like anyone else conveys an idea, people get it, you know. It's not really difficult to explain, but you can see, I mean, it's hard to pinpoint specifics of what has changed, but you can tell if you listen to the record, like there'll be, you know.
We're trying to fill, I feel like musically and politically, we're trying to fill a void that we think is there in punk and in culture. And that's, we don't talk about things that a lot of other bands are talking about, or at least we don't talk about them in ways that other people are talking about them. And also, musically, we do the same thing. Like, we more and more try to be like, all right, no one's really doing this, or they're doing it, but they're not doing it with this bent. Or they're, you know what, no one would ever do this way. Like, no one's going to do that kind of stuff. We just wrote a song the other day that Philippe brought a riff in. And I'm like, you know, that kind of sounds like a little stoner metal-ish. And now it's like gone toward like a stoner metal-ish hardcore tune. And it's very different. Like, I don't think any punk band, any hardcore punk band has ever come out of New York City would ever touch this riff in a million fucking miles. But it sounds good.
And honestly, that's the kind of thing that like draws me personally to like some of the new songs, because I'm like, oh, it's different, it's challenging, and you know, you don't want to hear like every other band like you've heard from the 90s play, like otherwise, you know, you're just gonna be like, oh, I could just go listen to that band.
So you're not necessarily trying to follow already predefined forms of what you're supposed to do, you're just doing what you're doing.
We just take the influences of like what, you know, we like or love and apply it with our own spin on it.
Let's take a break for a second and let's listen to a tune. Ira, do you want to pick a tune that you think we should listen to early in this episode?
How about Curse God?
All right, we're gonna talk about this in a minute, so let's listen to Curse God from All Torn Up off of our Social Immolation album. Get down.
On the veil there's a dream, it's time for love as you astray. Who promises to keep this day bred into our brain. It's all been set in stone. Pay for your protection. The whole back will echo. Curse God, I say no. Who powers it makes you settle down. One place is here and a time is now. The past we rise, burn and burn. Who people lies, they have won.
So since we just heard Chris Scott, let's just jump right into that. The first track off your demo, Let the Sky Fall, and then the last track off your most recent release is Curse God.
I've
seen at your live shows, you have a tendency to rant about the Serenity Prayer before you start that song. Now, in my humble opinion, I think you're entirely missing the point of the Serenity Prayer in your rant. Tell me why I'm wrong.
So what I was talking about is Curse God is in part about the Serenity Prayer. And the Serenity Prayer, if people don't know it, is God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the strength to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I think that's
courage to change the things I can.
The courage, what did I say?
The strength.
Strength and strength. It doesn't make sense. Okay. So that's the Serenity Prayer. And I look at that, my mother on her deathbed had that sitting next to her head.
Right.
And I've always had a ton of bitterness against that, obviously, since I just think, you know, like the irony of her, like in her last days, looking at that and being like, oh, you know, I just don't have the strength to do this anymore. I think she did, you know, she doing as far as she could. So there's some personal sentiment with that.
Right.
But to me, it's about the fact that religion has trained all of these well-meaning, well-intentioned people to simply look at the things that they can't initially change and to think that they can't do it.
So there's overuse of it. Like, it's not like, I always looked at it like, say, you're terminally ill and this is the end. It's about accepting that so you can fucking get on with your life with all the other shit.
Why accept that? I mean, I don't understand accepting the things you can't change. Like, I just think that the way that is used, I know. Jason could talk a little bit about other ways this is used. And I know this is a little bit sensitive for some people, but to me, that prayer and all prayers and God has been used to subjugate people, and especially women. That song's a lot about women. And it's interesting that you say Let the Sky Fall, because that's another song that we have about the exploitation and oppression of women.
That's the first track off the first release.
And I never thought about how those two bookend. But to me, religion is used as this tool that oppresses people and that one prayer is such a biting example of something that people use as strength. They look to it for strength, but ironically, it has been used to help them accept the things that they cannot change far more than anything else.
Right.
And if we want to talk about something that's encouraging strength, that's one thing. I don't want to bat this away from people. I don't want to bat religion away from people who are looking into it for strength. But so often, it's not a picture of strength. It's like, how is this going to help me accept things I can't change? We can change.
To keep you in line.
We can change far more than we think we can change. That's the truth. That's the reality.
Right.
And that one prayer and so many others are being utilized to get us to think that we shouldn't or we can't. And so maybe there is strength people are getting from that. I don't really give a fuck. That's their business. But to me, the real issue is we need to stop thinking that there's stuff we can't change.
All right.
But Jason also, you know, this was a little bit of a touchy subject when I wrote it, because I knew that there was good people who took good out of it.
You know, I agree with both sides. I understand what Joey's saying. I understand what Ira's saying. I've been sober for 6.5 years. Serenity Prayer is something that's used widely throughout 12-step programs. So when Ira says, you know, you're terminally ill, you know, you accept things, you know, you accept that you're terminally ill so you can get on with it. You know, I had to come to an acceptance that I can't drink or get high.
Right.
Because every single time I do it, it leads me to the exact same place. Granted, on the other side, people will use that and say, oh, you know, there's other things that I can't change. And they use it as a cop-out.
Yeah.
So, it you know, I think it really depends on the person and what you're using it for. Sure, there are certain things that you can't change. We're all going to die one day.
Right.
You know, at least in this lifetime. Until the, you know, science comes up with something better to keep us going on and on and on and on. You know, same thing. I can't drink or get high. I can't change that. I can't change the internal makeup of my brain and how it works. Maybe science one day will, but at the same time, I don't think even if they did, my life is so good today, at least internally on the inside, that I don't even know if I'd want to get high or drunk again, because what I have today is pretty cool, you know? I most days I like who I am. So I see the Serenity Prayer from both sides. You know, I see it as it can be used as a cop out, and I also see it as like, sure, yeah, it's like let's accept this thing, you know, so I can get on and continue to live my life and continue to do good things in other places. So, you know, because if you hold on to the bad shit and say, oh, you know, like I'm never going to stop until I change this, you could be in an endless cycle that, you know, stops you from doing other positive things elsewhere.
I see like the need for people to accept the reality that they need to not accept isn't the word I'd use. Like they need to ironically have sober eyes and look real hard at what's happening around them. And I even have like a line in that song where it says like through sober eyes, like to take a look at the world around them. But that's not accepting reality. That's like making an assessment of reality, like really looking at what is real and then saying, all right, that's real. How can I transform that reality into being something that's better for the world? So, you know, I just feel like acceptance is a word that I don't tolerate. Like,
right.
Never accept anything.
Just blanket move. Condemnation of acceptance.
I think so. You know, you see a wall and you bust through it, you know, so it's there. You can climb over it. No, fuck that. Tear it down, destroy it, and no longer be a wall there.
Okay. Accept nothing. More even-handed, Jason.
Accept some things.
But don't accept as that. Much as everybody seems to accept.
Sure, yeah. Totally. You know,
you guys are nerds.
If you're not happy with something that's going on, try and change it. Try and fix it. Yeah. You know, try and work together to get towards a common solution where everyone's going to be happy. I love to get high and drunk. Love it more than anything. There is nothing I'd rather do right now than have a beer. But, you know, I had to accept the fact that I can't do that or else I'm going to die, end up in jail, or end up in some institution. So, you know, for me personally, I can't speak for anyone else. There are some things in my life that I do have to accept. And I think there's other things in life that, you know, like, yeah, let's keep fighting, you know, until we die. You know, let's keep trying to change this because, you know, obviously there's a lot of unjust stuff in this world. So.
Okay. Anything, Cello?
Huh. Yeah, I mean, I agree. With both sides of it, Joey's views and Jason's views. I think for Jason, it's more of like an inward reflective kind of help towards sobriety. And
right.
It's not necessarily that he's living by those words exactly as far as a serenity prayer, but it is a small example of accepting the person he is as when he does drink or get high and like realizing that he can't do that. So, I mean, it's kind of a vague word when you say acceptance, but
yeah, that's true.
I agree with both of these guys.
Yeah. I mean, the thing to me is that the what is it? Where's the reality of this prayer and what is it being utilized as? People put it there so they can get on with their daily life. And their daily life is usually putting up with brutal oppression.
Right.
And so if that's the daily life, then maybe there are good people who are using it for good reasons, and that's they're driving strength from it, and that's fine. Obviously they don't need to hear my bullshit, and they're not going to listen to it, and they're going to be like, I'm going to keep using it. Fine. I'm not going to rip it off their walls. But to me, the reality is most people look to that as a source of strength, and it's a source of them being stronger to put up with oppression.
Right.
That's not strength that we need. We need strength to destroy oppression.
More like a tolerance,
not tolerate it. Yeah.
Rather than a strength. Tolerance isn't necessarily strength.
Yeah, tolerance and acceptance are both those oppression words that people are like, you know, sure, are they good words or bad words? It depends on the situation. And the situation
and in
we're
this situation.
In is fucked.
Well, I also think it goes back to the point that I made earlier of, you know, it depends on what we're using this for and what we're accepting or tolerating, you know. If you want to talk about it from a political standpoint, sure, yeah, you know, don't accept it. Fight until you either die or get what you want.
Yeah.
But if it's something that affects your day-to-day life, you know, whether it's drugs and alcohol, whether it's, you know, anxiety, something, you know, it could be anything that affects you performing to the best of your ability day-to-day to fight towards those things,
yeah,
then that's where I think, sure, you know, if you need to find strength in that, go ahead so you continue to do good for the world and not sit down and live the day-to-day oppressive life.
But right. that to me, that is a cop-out in the sense that it doesn't recognize that they have that strength internally to that inside themselves, and they are changing. Like when someone becomes sober, they're changing. They're not accepting, they're changing. And so why isn't the prayer saying, look at how strong you are to turn away from these things that you've always been doing? The prayer itself, lends itself to open interpretation, but it's I think the real truth is we need to accept that we are changing those things. If we're going to talk about acceptance, let's talk about the fact that we're changing those. The strength came internally, not from a prayer.
Sure, of course. But, you know, and this can get into a huge, long discussion, which, you know, I would find so interesting. But the short version is that, you know, some people use prayer. They believe in a God, a higher power, whatever it may be. And other people use it really just as a stream of consciousness. And it's almost like a self-reassurance that, you know, someone could pray. They may not be praying to a God. They may be praying to, you know, a God, whatever. At the end of the day, I think that if someone's praying, you know, and it's sure, you know, I don't believe in God. I don't pray. Do I say the serenity prayer when I go to a 12-step meeting? Yes, it's kind of what I just, it kind of fell into it. It's what I do. You stand in the circle at the end and you do it. And I never really thought twice about it. But it's at the end of the day, I think having that conversation with yourself raises your stream of consciousness and allows you to put that in the forefront of your mind, at least throughout that day. So you're thinking about that day, okay, these are the troubles I'm having and I want to change that. Not relying on a God to change that for you, but, you know, relying on yourself and putting that into your mind and being able to have that in your mind all day from the start of the day.
Okay.
You know, and I think one thing is we're all atheists in this band. We're something we're committed to. It's something we want to bring out more. A lot of bands don't bring it out enough, even though they are atheists.
I agree. We need more atheist bands.
We need more atheist culture too. And the fact that there aren't more bands promoting atheism explicitly, and maybe it's rhetorical because there's so many atheists in the punk scene, but you know what? That could change. It is changing and it needs to be said more. But I will say on every album we've ever put out has been Malcolm X, who is not an atheist.
Right.
And to me, I think he's probably the most heroic, greatest speaker, one of the greatest minds to ever have been raised in these borders that we live in. And so one of the reasons we put that on there is to say, look, we're atheists, but it doesn't mean you have to be an atheist to do good things. You can be saying the serenity prayer. You can be out there preaching even nationalism. He was a nationalist, not oppressive nationalism, but he believed in the nation of Islam. He was a black nationalist, or you know, being a preacher or being Muslim or being whatever, and do good. And in fact, I think one of the greatest people who ever lived in this borders is someone who disagreed with me on almost everything I believe.
Right.
So, you know, it's complicated. And, you know, the religion stuff is definitely complicated, but more atheists.
So when you speak about we need more atheist bands, and where I guess All Torn Up falls into opposition, the opposition that is rising against power structures that oppress people, what do you wish other bands were doing more of? How does the scene suck?
Oh, geez, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. I mean, that's a good question.
How do the kids suck? How does the scene suck?
I think a lot of it isn't the kids, actually. I think kids want there to be more politics brought into their music, but there's a lot of people who are looking to make money and they're looking to fit into the already established like mainstream of punk culture. So they don't want to ruffle any feathers. So they just kind of do the like drunk punk fucks way too often. And so that makes more money. That's more popular. That's the party thing. So it's easier. But I think actually a lot of younger people want there to be more rebel, you know, rebelliousness in punk and more explicit consciousness in punk. I think the main thing, the reason the punk scene sucks so much, first of all, it doesn't suck overall.
Okay.
All right. I mean, we make punk music because we love punk culture. We're not metal. We're not, you know, I got a Danzig tattoo on my arm, but I'm not making metal music because I don't want to be part of that culture. I don't like those scenes. I don't like those shows. I believe in punk culture. I believe in the potential of punks that punks have. But I do think that there are huge problems in the punk scene. I think the whole phenomenon of people, you know, getting wasted and tuning off at shows is bullshit. You know, these are places we come together and that we find so much community, but then we tune out to each other at those places or we get belligerently wasted at those places. I'm not saying don't drink, but I'm saying is when we do drink, we should realize before we get drunk that we're around family and friends. And so often we get fucked up and dumb and dumb ourselves down that we never see that. And we don't talk to the strangers around us. This is our community.
Right.
And we don't have enough punk culture. enough punks out there that are in positions of leadership doing that. Instead, they're worried about, you know, what they look like and how much mascara they're wearing and what gauge shoestring to wear on their fucking forehead.
Don't forget about the spikes on the jacket.
Yeah, how many spikes you need to have in a jacket. Look, wear all that shit, do all that shit, that's fine. But there's something more essential to being a punk, and that is the culture that we appreciate and the people who gather around this music. They're amazing people. And that should be appreciated and empowered and made as conscious as possible so that we can actually have a culture that tears away from the mainstream. And too often the superficial bullshit and the drunk punk culture get us swallowed up. And so I think that there's a lot of negative trends in punk scenes that we need to combat against. Not destroy. I don't think we should destroy them. I don't think we should do only sober shows. I don't think we should throw someone out who's wearing, you know, like head-to-toe studs. I just think we should represent something different and try to pull it out more.
Okay.
I was making these fucking faces when I were talking I'm an asshole.
I couldn't disagree more with like about half of that.
half is not bad.
I agree. Let's connect with each other. Let's change the world, make it the kind of world we'd like to live
okay,
in.
Okay, but what is preventing us from doing that?
But sometimes I just want to go out and get fucked up and rock out and go home and go to bed.
No one's disagreeing with that. But don't you see that though getting fucked up and wasted in our community spaces constantly and promoting that culture.
I'm not getting wasted in your community space. I'm getting wasted in a bar.
That's a community space.
That sells alcohol.
That's fine. But what do you think is leading us to ignore each other? Because that's happening. We're ignoring each other, right? We're in the same space and we're ignoring each other and we're not meeting each other's needs and we're not empowering each other. We're not being conscious. So what is it?
I think I just like going out and drinking and rocking out. I don't get as granular as you do about going out and rocking out at a show. I think there is a place for that, and that's a beautiful thing, those kinds of shows. But I'm also glad the stupid shit exists too.
Look,
as socially irresponsible as that is, I like having that in my life too.
We're not against fun, okay? Right. Maybe I personally am, but the band is not against fun. We want people to have fun at shows. We believe in it. You know, we've toured with Days and Days and Leftover Crack. We're not against fun. Yeah. We enjoy having fun at shows, and I'm not trying to make every show a sober space. But I do think it's a much more meaningful experience, even while you're partying and having fun, to see that the people standing next to you are part of your community and to see that they're with you on a deeper level than just having fun together.
Right.
And so that's what I'm saying is I'm not trying to turn everything into a political lecture.
Right.
But I'm not trying to do that. I just think that there's not enough punks who are appreciating how complex and full of potential our punk scene is.
Right. Okay.
So I'm trying to pull on the other side of it.
Anything to add before I move on to something else?
Let's take a break and let's listen to another tune, and then we're gonna come back with Ira and he's gonna talk to us more about this stuff. And I won't preach anymore. Well, what song you want to listen to, guys?
Well, we heard the last
from
track.
Us? Does it have to be from us?
Yeah. Well, or Ira. Yeah.
I was gonna colonize your mind
with the bookend theme. You already played the last track of the latest release. How about the very first track off the first one?
Cello, opposition to that?
Let the Sky Fall?
He doesn't like his... All right, this is Let the Sky Fall. It's off of our demo. It's it was recorded on a terrible drum set. And, you know, it was a long time ago. Jason's not even on this album, so obviously it's going to suck. Here's Let the Sky Fall.
I'm sorry, guys. Very young.
All torn up. Get down. We'll be right back.
So what brought you guys to New York, and what got you into this music and playing music to begin with?
I'll go first. Well, I was born in New York, and I've just been here. And yeah,
what part?
Astoria, Queens.
Astoria? Okay. Yeah. Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Aviation High School.
Did you start playing guitar then? Or?
Yeah, I started playing when I was a teenager. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. What got me into wanting to play music? I just always wanted to play music when I was a kid. My brother would play thrash metal, and I would just sit by the radio listening to it. And the thing that caught my ear mostly was like the other bands that we listened to, 7 Seconds, Suicidal Tendencies, and
What thrash bands?
Let's see. He would listen to just like your typical stuff, like old Metallica stuff, Exodus. Okay.
Any Overkill in there?
Overkill, yep. Testament, Old Testament stuff.
Good stuff. Can you refuel a plane?
No, high, right? But I can. If I can remember how to fix them, I used to do that. Okay. But I can't remember how to do this.
That sounds like a plane I do not want to ride in. That fucking cello's like, give it a try. I'll give it a go.
I know some people who made a career out of what they learned at aviation in Queens.
Yep. That's it.
Good alma mater to speak of.
Yeah, yeah, well, this is not an aviation plug. I'm going to cut all the aviation stuff. But fuck all those guys.
I'm from New Jersey, so I'm a bridge and tunnel guy.
You hear all the booze? You can actually hear it coming through. It's crazy.
And I wanted, the first time I wanted to play guitar was, I must have been like 5 or something. And I saw my cousin's band play at my cousin's bar mitzvah.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. And I just saw the guitar player, you know, I just thought it sounded so cool. I was like, you know, this is fucking awesome. I want to do that. I want to pick up a guitar. It looks like he's having so much fun. Fast forward a couple of years, and I got my first guitar. It was one of those little combo packs. It was a Squire,
right?
With a small amp. Yeah. And I just kept noodling around on it and making shitty sounds.
Things changed, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I was always into music with instruments, you know, that with a driving force behind it, something fast paced, you know. I don't know if it was like ADD or something like that, or right. If it was just, you know, I don't know. So, you know, slowly but surely, the music I started to like, you know, went from poppier to darker and, you know, then to all sorts of music. But it was a long, weird path of playing different things and listening to different things until kind of got to where I am now.
Well, what kind of bums me out is that I was looking forward to asking the question of, you know, where are you from and what brought you to New York, what kind of a culture shock it was. But but you guys don't. You guys are. I mean, New Jersey, you're practically a New Yorker.
Sixth borough.
Yeah, New Yorkers would disagree.
I'm from Queens myself, by the way. But so I guess you would have that experience.
Yeah, I'm from Ohio.
You came to New York. What was it, a culture shock? How is it different than back home?
I mean, there's more people on the street. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a culture shock because I'd been in New York a lot of times. Right.
What brought you here? Music?
No, I mean, I've always been super involved in music. I love music, but it wasn't. I was an activist, you know. I was doing political work for a long time, and then a group that I worked with told me to go to New York and start organizing against the Republican National Convention. I hated New York.
This is awesome.
I've been to New York a lot of times for protests and for conferences and stuff like that, and. So I came here to protest the Republican National Convention. I was here for 3 months in 2004 and organized all throughout the city. So I was like, you know, I didn't sleep. I was no more than 3 hours of sleep for those entire months. And I got to see all of the city, and I was so excited to go home to Cleveland when we were done. So I finished my tour and went back to Cleveland, and they're like, you did a great job. You're going to go live there. Take all your stuff. You got a week to move. And I was like, oh, really, dude? And you got to quit your jobs and then go back there. And so I moved with a bag of shit and started organizing street protests in New York.
And the rest is history, yeah.
And the music stuff, I loved music. And actually, it was during the RNC that I had a friend. Her name was Rage, actually. And she was a old school riot girl. And she would see me like fucking standing on cars or standing on top of garbage cans. We gave a lot of speeches on garbage cans, and she's like, dude, you should sing in a punk band.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, it would be great, but that's, you know, we got this shit to do. And so I
and then you said the Serenity Prayer, right?
Yeah, then I just fucking would get up and lead a prayer, and that was it. So, yeah, that was the first idea of like, okay, I could actually do this to make music too. So that was the trajectory of it.
So what exactly do you bring to the table? I mean, you don't play any instruments. You just kind of
play the saxophone.
And you recently learned how to breathe, I heard.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's pretty much hate.
I don't think I'm a hater, actually. I think I'm extremely positive, okay. Ira. But I'm not an optimist. I'm a realist, but I do think I believe things are possible to change. So okay. I'm not negative at all. But I do think everyone brings something different and all torn up, I feel like, to the table. And while I'm not writing riffs, I'm not a riff factory. And most, I'd say almost all of my ideas on how to change songs are immediately shot down. And they're all terrible. But I do think that I've come up with some decent like vocal ideas, and I write almost all of the vocal ideas myself. So, you know, if there is any in any song that you think are good, Cello probably suggested it, but there's also a chance that I wrote it too. And I think the one thing that makes us strong as a unit is that we do respect each other's skill set a lot. So cool. even while it might not sing, I'm bringing the most musical stuff to the table. I think that we are able to see that there's potential in, you know, a crazy man on stage too, just fucking punching.
You definitely bring something to the table. I just like fucking busting your chops.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, well, I bring that too. Yeah, someone to pick on. That's great, guys. Yeah, enjoy yourselves. Enjoy yourselves. That's great.
Okay. Moving right along. Any specific issues? Not so big picture. Change the world, but anything. What specific thing do you think? Like a concrete, tangible thing somebody could do to help make this place a better place.
Make New York a better place or the world a better place?
Both. However you want to interpret the question.
I think if we stop thinking so much about I and think more about we, you know, it just helping out other
wee-wee,
people.
Though. He actually means wee wee.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He means urine.
I'm talking about France right now. But, you know, just not human nature is to be selfish and to think about yourself and survival. But if we can think about taking care of each other and helping out one another and be a little more selfless, that's a huge step to going towards a positive direction. So,
I think education. And I think through the arts, like All Torn Up, that's one of the things I'm proud of being, why I'm proud of being in All Torn Up is that along with, you know, accompanied with the music, we have our message. And hopefully someone's listening to this guy's lyrics. And, you know, through education, I think you can make the world a better place. And through the arts, I think is a nice way of like reaching out to people aside from like just like preaching on the street or listening to a teacher talk in a classroom. Although those things can be effective, I feel like to me personally, in the past, music was more of a thing that kind of stuck in my ear. Cool. And you know, those aspects, I think, as far as what music can do, ultimately through music you can educate people and make the world a better place.
I'm not going to listen to your question, Ira, because first of all of our songs, I feel like are about this, but I want to say two things. One, I think all of us make music because we believe punk culture can take a bite out of the mainstream monotony and the doldrums that we get stuck in. We think punk culture can drag people out of the mainstream, you know, banality or awfulness of capitalism and into something better. That's why we make this music. It's not just some because we enjoy music. We all enjoy making music, but we believe that there is something in our culture of being a punk that is a threat to the mainstream, and we want more people to join us down here. Cool. So I think that's a huge part of what All Torn Up is, and I believe that if more people reached out and dragged people into our culture, we'd have a better world. So I actually think making more punks, like your friends that you gave up on in high school, yeah, the people who you don't think have any good taste in music, the people who listen to Adele, who, by the way, is an amazing musician.
The ones who went on to play in the NFL.
All, exactly. Exactly. I think that, you know, we can...
Yeah, I want to hear more about what you think about that. You already kind of told the world, but I'd like to hear you you would phrase it here.
I want... That's the main thing. The other thing is, you asked for concrete, so I will say I want... One concrete thing is, I think the refugee crisis in Syria has... You know, I said it in dispatches the day that refugee crisis started, and we're going to see further refugee crises in South Asia, which is happening already. We're going to see them in North Korea, most likely in the very near future. You know, we're going to see them in places destroyed by natural disasters. We're going to see a lot of refugee crises. And the more people can give up on their personal bullshit and let other people in their lives, not only to help them, not only in some patronizing help, but also to help them, the refugees, change themselves, the people who are going to help them. That interaction, I think, is fraught with potential. And I think the more people can engage that culture, engage cultures of people who are in need and lose themselves in it,
yeah,
and the bullshit that they've always held on to, I think the better we're going to be. So I say help other people you think are in need, and don't just think it's some patronizing bullshit, but also realize that they're teaching you every moment you're with them.
Yep. So. I love that. What well a beautiful, said. Beautiful well sound.
Said. Oh, yeah. It's so beautiful stuff. Yeah, that's all.
I'm not even kidding. I wasn't trying to be patronizing at all.
But NFL stuff, man. I mean, these guys are fucking NFL dorks, so they're probably going to have more to say on it.
Yeah, motherfucker.
But I think one thing that we could take away from it, two things we could take away from it. One, Colin Kaepernick, that's his name, right?
Yep.
It's the only NFL player I know. Colin Kaepernick was one dude who risked his career and his safety because he stood up for a political reason that he didn't think I'm sure everybody he knew told him it's not going to make a difference. He's going to lose his career. He's going to lose his fucking money. He's putting himself in jeopardy, and he still did it because he felt like compelled to do it. And I think that bravery is incredible. It didn't have to go this way. He could have just been ostracized and thrown out. It didn't have to go that way, and he still decided to do it. So I think that we should realize that there's potential. Like Margaret Mead said, there's a lot of potential for one person to stand up and make a change. And you got to do the things you think have to be done, not just what's in your own personal best interest.
Yeah.
But also, the mainstream is terrible. The NFL is horrible. And I think that the culture, we're all amazed by this because here's a group of jocks, athletes, in the most conservative of sports,
yeah,
who are taking a political stand, which we never thought would happen. We're all amazed by it because we never thought it would happen. So, and they're doing that. And it's tough to get some punk bands to come out against police and police brutality.
Yeah.
It's like, we should take this incredible stuff and be like, yo, you motherfuckers should learn a lesson from all these black people who are risking their fucking lives and freedom, standing in a stadium full of crazy white, drunk white people, and saying what needs to be said. And y'all motherfuckers can't stand in a room of punks and say the truth because you're afraid that someone's not going to buy your album.
Or someone's not going to like you.
Yeah.
Or,
you know, whatever. I think that there's a lot of courage to be taken from that. And, you know, the mainstream can be cracked. You know, there's ways to crack it, and there's more ways that we should kick it open. And this is one of them. These guys actually like football. I don't give a fuck about. I actually hate football, so I don't know if there's anything more to be said about that.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think you hit it right.
Good. We'll just edit good, there then. Good. Joey's right.
Good person, not a great quarterback.
Colin Kaepernick's a quarterback?
Yeah, he was.
Even more risky. Everyone's looking at him.
But, I mean, he was a trailblazer, you know? Yeah. If you look at games now, half the teams are taking a knee for the national anthem. Yeah, he was the first one to do it, and other people saw him, and they said...
Burning his jersey.
Yeah, burning his... And other players' jerseys are getting burnt, too. But you know what? He said, I'm going to do this. I don't care what anyone thinks. And because of that, other people saw that, other players saw that, and were like, wow, he has the courage to do it. It worked out, you know, but he made a big enough fuss where people were, okay, now we're thinking about this. We're going to do it too. So, I think he's a trailblazer for that.
How much of this has to do with the president kind of forcing the issue and moving, you know, like Lucy taking the ball? Do you think it helps people who are trying to bring awareness to the issue of systemic oppression against black lives? Or does it hurt them, the president dipping his toe into this one?
Trump does nothing to help black lives. I'll say that. That's pretty clear.
No, but wait a minute. We had the same conversation a couple of years ago on your podcast where you said, I'm all about Trump because that will bring about the kind of revolution that I'm hoping for. And here is a form
misquoting
of it
me,
manifesting.
First of all. I'm not all about Trump.
No. Yeah. Okay, you're right.
I'm not
that
all about Trump.
That wasn't fair of me.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, what you were all about was we need to burn it all down and rebuild. This, I think, is a for instance of that, what you were shooting for.
Right, but where I
this is a manifestation of what you wanted to happen.
No, not what I wanted to happen. What was inevitably going to happen. Not
yeah. I don't mean what you wanted to happen. Okay, but I mean what you thought would happen in the wake of this cupcake getting put into power.
Cupcakes are sweet. He's disgusting. But
right.
I think the Trump... Look, I've worked my entire activist career to end the nationalist destruction, that America's imperialist destruction of people all around the world. Trump is doing more in 4 years... will do more in 4 years to stop America from being an imperialist power than I will have ever been able to do in my career as an activist.
Right.
So in that, I think it's amazing. But a lot of innocent, good people are going to be hurt in the process. And that's a terrible thing. And I think it would be better if we empower people to stop and consciously stopped America from being a superpower. But if we can't do it consciously, at least it's being done unconsciously. That's fine. Right. I do think black people are hurt by this president. And I do think we are luckily in a position where people are conscious enough and educated enough. And there's enough culture out there that at least is touching on the oppression that's happening for NFL players to at least take a knee. We need to do way more than take a fucking knee at a football stadium to end the oppression of black people in this
country.
Of course,
of course.
Including what I think, you know, we've talked about and all torn up, and I'm definitely alone by myself in this point, but people shouldn't be burning jerseys. They should be burning flags. And people should, and so the fact that we have a pushback from Trump supporters in that direction is a disturbing reality. And Trump, you know, while it might be good that there's a backlash against him and that he might help bring, you know, fan the flames a little bit, he's also enabling his right-wing supporters in the alt-right to have neo-Nazi rallies. So there's an equally awful thing happening, and those people are going to hurt more and more people. And honestly, if we want to talk about what I think should be done against police, you know, the oppression by the police, it's not taking a knee. It's yeah. destroying the institution of police. It's abolishing the police. Right. It's people realizing that they shouldn't let police shoot at them, and I think personally, not for all torn up, they should be shooting back when the police are a threat to them. But that's my personal opinion, not our band's opinion. But you know, this is a step for that. This is consciously wearing raising, and I think it's important and it's valuable. So, but,
okay.
But fuck Trump. Just be clear on that front.
Anything? Go Giants.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Cool. Let's wrap it up, Iris. So, if there's any last question you want to get in, let's do it.
Okay.
We got time for one more.
All right. Well, lifted right out of Maximum Rock and Roll's what they'd like to read. Where do you see yourselves participating in punk as a form of oppositional culture? And how do you fit into the legacy of punk where you live? Lifted straight out of Maximum Rock and Roll's, hey, this is the kind of shit we like to read section.
I feel like we covered like this entire interview is the long form of that, but I'm trying to think of how can we put that into a short. Here you go. This is what you want to see in, you know, a few sentences, so you don't have to read the entire interview.
Yeah, the TLDR.
We just got back from Europe. We were with Leftover Crack in Europe, and you know, I think that being in Europe, we had a taste of like how different it is over there. So it's hard to really say like punk culture worldwide. I think we have a little bit of a better understanding after that tour that punk culture is very different in very different places. So I think speaking for punk culture in America, I think we need more confrontation and we need more community. And I think All Torn Up, you know, being about empowering and conscious communication, empowering and conscious shows, empowering and conscious music, I think we bring both those things. Like we need to more harshly confront each other about the bullshit we hang on to in our own culture and in the mainstream. And also we need to fucking realize that we're a community. It's not just a bunch of disparate like individuals hanging out at the same bar. We are a community of people. We don't have borders, but all the fucking better.
Yeah.
But we are a community, and that we need to take care of each other in a way that a community takes care of each other across the country and across the world, although that's much more complicated than I thought. And I think that is very complicated, but that's what we're about, is making sure that people realize that we do care about each other as a community and not just as individuals.
Okay. What do you, again, right out of Maximum Rock and Rolls, this is what we'd like to read. How do you see yourselves participating in punk as a form of oppositional culture? And how do you fit into the legacy of punk where you live?
guys can talk about New York too.
Yeah, that's what I just asked.
Yeah. You know, I think oppositional culture or music is thought provoking. It's thought provoking against the mainstream of, you know, New York, the entire world, really. So
New York hardcore too. Like if
New York, yeah, definitely.
If you think like, oh, you guys are New York hardcore bands. Like, I don't think anyone who plays New York hardcore would agree that we're really a New York.
I don't think you're a New York hardcore band.
But
not
we get
by
it when we go
other
places too, though. Yeah.
When people ask me what we sound like, I don't know what to tell them because right. I don't know how to pinpoint it, and it's like, and that's because there's so many different influences within the band. But you know, it's playing those shows. It's talking to people after the shows about what we were talking about when we were playing. So what was the last part of that question again?
How do you fit into the legacy of punk where you live? You know, the history of the city, I guess.
You know, I think it's keeping with the DIY ethic, you know. Okay. Sure, we've played bigger shows, but everything we do ourselves. Joey does a lot.
That's what he brings to the table. You know,
yeah, yeah, he does. He does a lot of stuff for our band. There's a huge Latino scene that we're a part of, that, you know, that one of our songs, No Man's Land, you know, the lyrics are in Spanish, La Chota, La Migra, La Misma Porqueria, which is, you know, the pigs, the, you know,
the immigration
officers, it's all the same shit, you know.
We're
so,
all illegal.
So, yeah, we're, yeah, we are. And it's showing support, you know, with, doesn't matter who you are, you know, whether you're religious, atheist, black, brown, white, you know, it doesn't matter what your race is, your background is, you know, we're a community. You know, we all have one common purpose, and it's that we want to change the world for the better. And, you know, we all want to be here to support each other. So,
we want to have some fucking fun doing it.
Yeah.
And that's the hard thing. I think a lot of political folks, when we challenge political folks, they don't realize that they can have fun doing this, that they can have a community, yeah, of people who care about each other. It's all ideas and confrontation, but we can actually have a community and have fun together. That's one thing.
Yeah.
And when we challenge punks to be like, well, look, we don't have to, just because we're having fun, it doesn't mean we can't be conscious and we can't care about each other and treat each other better than we've been trained to be treated. So I think it's like we're trying to bridge those two and really bring those two together. And I think for us, we've been super fucking lucky in New York City to be embraced by the Latino punk culture here. And they put their arms around us so lovingly. And really, you know, there's no one Latino in this band. And the fact that we've been so immersed in the culture here with them, it's honestly, to me, it you know, brings tears in my eyes just thinking about how wonderful they've been to us. And that's because we're so upfront and honest about our viewpoints and who we are and what we represent and where we want to go. You know, not because we're fucking white ass dudes, but because it doesn't matter about where we're from, it's where we're trying to go, and they're trying to go to the same place where, yeah, a community that's empowering and conscious and cares about each other and having fun doing it. And that's why they've been so caring to us and good to us. And I would say that we're much more involved in that side of the New York culture, the Latino punk scene here, than New York hardcore. We've never been invited to play a New York hardcore show. We've never been invited to play real deep down New York hardcore shows. We've been invited to play political punk shows, and we've been invited to play Latino punk shows. And that's the only places that we've ever really felt home.
We can talk about that off the record later.
Yeah, I think we're very clearly aligned in the legacy of New York punk with the Latino scene here. And that's where we have gotten all of our friends and family and community here in New York. So that's a huge part of it. And I feel like we're carving out the reality that it doesn't matter your background as much as your content.
Right.
And that's confrontational to a lot of people too, on both sides of it. And, you know, we're not tolerant of the idea that just because you're from New York, you got to be playing traditional New York hardcore. You know, we're trying to be representative of a different world view. And that doesn't fit super well into that scene. So, you know, that's what we do.
Depends.
Latino hardcore is where we're at, even though we're not there. I mean, that's not where we're playing either. But
yeah.
Cool.
Do love a brutal breakdown, though. Not going to lie.
I do, too.
Every practice we have, these two are trying to squeeze in some breakdown shit.
Song's done. No, it's not. We need to do something heavy at the end.
Some beatdown parts.
Yeah,
we'll get right on that.
Working on it. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
You want me to repeat the question again?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, Where do you see yourselves participating in punk as a form of oppositional culture, and how do you fit in the legacy of punk where you live?
Well, I think these guys pretty much covered the bases as far as the culture aspect. Where I can probably touch upon and add to it is just the history of punk in New York, since I grew up here and, you know, been going to punk shows, been going to CBGBs, Coney Island High, and all these places. Is that...
Me too.
Yeah, and you don't really... Punk rock as a form of music is unlike any other form of music. It has a culture behind it. It has a message behind it. And a lot of these bands that we either A, play with today, or B, you know, are just playing in general, the shows we attend, it's fine if you're, like Joey said, if you're going to have fun and you're going to go up there and sing about, you know, I don't know, your fucking day at work and like jogging, you know, not liking the New York City subway.
I would love to hear a fucking punk band sing about jogging. I think that would be hilarious.
Yeah. But, you know, I think us as a band, I think we have a lot more to say than, you know, just how much the New York City subway sucks, or, you know, how sad I am because of my fucking dog or girlfriend or some other bullshit. And I think punk rock in general has aspects of like what we talk about, but in New York City, it seems like a little few and far between. And I think currently there really aren't too many bands that have like political message.
Cool.
Well, thanks for fucking doing this, Ira. It's super fun, brother.
Thank you for having me.
Let's listen to one more tune. What do you want to listen to?
Decolonize.
Okay, so this isn't...
Wait,
this,
does it have to be from us?
Yeah, it's going to be from us.
Decolonize, yeah.
This is Decolonize Your Mind. It's off of our most recent album, Social Immolation. You can get it on our Bandcamp page. So here it is. Oh, the Bandcamp page is alltornup.bandcamp.com, I think. Right. Whatever. Just fucking search for All Torn Up, Decolonize Your Mind. I'm sure you'll find it. Get down.
And now we are indignant! Because the stuff we have done overseas is now brought right back into our own front yards. America's chickens are coming home to roost.
It was one September morning. We stuck on to watching a line I know something. The point is to live first and then live for the fun. Prove I thought you were to say. Let's build a perspective. They refuse to face the facts. The U.S. is revenge and chickens have come on a path that doesn't turn the journey back. This fake conspiracy is hell no you. Our greed, self-serving powers you. Get off your throat. Decolonize the deal. Between commercials
right, that's the end of the episode. I want to thank Ira for taking time out of his busy schedule and coming over to do this interview with us. I don't think anybody could have done it any better. Ira knows the band really well. He knows all of us, so I really appreciate him taking the reins on this one. Much appreciated, brother. Obviously, with Dispatches, the goal of this show is to get some perspective, is to better understand the society we live in, but to do it from the framework of punk and to do it from the underground up. And I think that our culture can inspire people, empower people, and knock them out of the fucking mainstream and help them find that heart deep down here in the underground. And that's what I try to do in All Torn Up. That's what we all try to do in All Torn Up. We try to be super conscious about it. I hope that came through in the interview. I think it did. And I know Ira does that in life as well. So, you know, this is sort of like a cycle of things that I care about deeply on one podcast. And I hope that came through. Maybe it was a little bit too much of a challenge for me because it's so personal, the podcast and the band. Maybe I didn't get that to come through, but that was the goal. So I hope y'all dug it. I hope y'all keep digging what we do here at Dispatches and in All Torn Up. I do want to say that earlier I said the wrong Bandcamp page. So if you're looking for All Torn Up's tunes, go to alltornup.bandcamp.com. You can get all of our albums for free, except for our new one, which is we're still trying to recoup some of the recording costs. So go on our Bandcamp, alltornup.bandcamp.com, and check out our recordings. Download most of them for free. We're going to be doing a couple of dates in Canada with the Subhumans, the UK Subhumans, in November 22nd to the 26th, I think. So if you're in Canada or if you're along the border and you're just sick of Thanksgiving, you can come and join us for those shows. It's going to be a really good, really good time up there. I think we're Montreal, Toronto, I think maybe Ontario, I think Quebec maybe. So come check those out. As for the other band that we were talking about, Jason, who's on this episode, and myself are in another band, Skullcaster. We have our first recording, Surime, coming out very soon. If it's not already up on our Bandcamp, you can go to skullcasternyc.bandcamp.com and it'll be up there for free. And we're going to be doing a West Coast tour in December, December 9th through the 21st or 22nd or something like that. So all for most of December, we're going to be on the West Coast from Portland, and then we're going all the way down through the Southwest into Houston and playing with our good friends in Days and Days. And we're going to be playing with a bunch of really fucking sick bands all over there. So it's the first time that I've had any bands play on the West Coast. We're playing with Rats in the Wall. We're playing with Ground Score in Portland. I mean, just a ton of really cool bands, people I love, and I'm really happy to be doing the tour. And it's the first time a lot of people are going to be here in Skullcaster. I'll throw a tune on from our new record at the end of the episode today so you can hear what we sound like, and hopefully you dig it enough to come out and hang out and hear what we have to do. And I think you'll like it. If you like All Torn Up, I think you'll love Skullcaster. So let's listen to a tune, and then yeah, I hope I see y'all very soon at any of these out of town shows, and hopefully All Torn Up will be doing some more touring in the very near future. Just pay attention, just search for All Torn Up, and stay up with us on Facebook. Facebook's always a good way to holler at all the bands or Dispatches. And don't forget, this podcast is up every 2 weeks. Go to dispatchersfromtheunderground.com. There's a subscription button. You can download every episode for free, always for free. And obviously there's a donation thing if you're into that, or there's a merch page if you want to get some All Torn Up gear, or if you want to get some Dispatchers stuff, go to our merch section, and it is all available there for you for a very reasonable price. And if you're not into it, you can just keep downloading the episodes. Share them, spread them, let everyone know about them, and we'll see you all very soon. Till then, hope y'all keep digging it. Get down. As I promised, here is Skullcaster, the new band that I'm in with Jason from All Torn Up, Callum from Phobia, and Jerry from Bowhead and Kraut and a bunch of other bands. All incredible musicians, super proud to be making these music, and I love these new tunes. So we're going to be mastering this. It's still not quite finished, still not quite there, but we'll have this tune on our record with a bunch of other incredible tunes available on tour in December, all through the West Coast and in the Southwest. So here's Skullcaster. Get down.
No one is safe from rock and roll.
Whoa, enough, I'm a product as well, but of a different system.